In our world, we've got a joy problem. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
That is.
And joy doesn't always mean, you know, we're happy or things are always going great, but it's that spirit of joy. When you have that spirit of joy, then even when the tough things happen or the storms happen, there's a peace and there's a calmness in the storm. So if everybody could experience that joy, I think that would be a change agent and a difference maker.
Amen.
And one of the most important questions to me is, you know, have you allowed anything to rob you of your joy? And it's so important to remember that.
Yeah.
So in working with people and coaching people and just kind of talking about, you know, how to approach this or how to approach that. We need to protect our joy, and we need to really be able to experience that joy. I think if joy is part of the process or part of the recipe, I think a lot of other things just really take care of themselves.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Dr. Jerry Adams. Jerry is the superintendent at Vega ISD in Vega, Texas, which I found out is on Route 66, just outside of Amarillo, close to Amarillo. So, Jerry, thanks for sharing that with me because I had no idea, and welcome to the show.
But thank you, Janet. It's a lot of fun to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us what is going on at Vega ISD.
Tell you what, when you talk about just your traditional public school, you know, kind of what you have in your mindset, maybe a lot of times the memories we have of growing up, because now our memories are always, you know, probably better than what the reality was. And so, you know, we idealize our memories a lot, but you know, Vega and Vega ISD is really what that memory is. It's a fantastic community. It's a fantastic school. And there's just so much pride that the community takes in the school, and the town loves Vega ISD. And to be in a school district in a community where there's just so much support, and it's all about student success and what can we do to promote that for our students and for our teachers, it's a real blessing. And so, you know, every day is fun. You never know what you're going to get. I guess it's like Forrest Gump and that box of chocolates.
Yeah, right.
You know, when you get to work in a public school setting, and you get to be with kids and teachers and families, and everybody's going in the same direction, there's a specialness about that. And you know, and so we're, you know, For Vega ISD, we've just turned the calendar into October. We're doing something different this year, which we're really excited about, and our staff and students, it's really kind of picking up the momentum. Is last spring, our site-based committee, and we interviewed and surveyed our staff and our community, but we adopted a hybrid 4-day schedule this year. And so we've been going all 5 days up to this point, and next week we'll do that as well. And then we're going to start the 4-day hybrid. And so this was something that our board wanted to do and our community wanted to do, because, you know, one thing we've looked at is our teachers do great work in our district. And, you know, this past legislative session, some teachers were able to get pay raises, but prior to that, there had not been pay raises or any cost of inflation, subsidies or anything to the basic allotment from the state since 2019. And so all of that,
wow,
to say, our teachers had been having to do a lot more as our district has been facing, budget constraints and budget deficits. In a school district, 80% of your money goes towards staff and personnel. So you can only cut so much, you know, save money in the lights and the electricity and, you know, copy paper so much. It's looking at staff. And so we'd had a little bit of a decline in enrollment. And so that just created a gap. And so we've done some things to really close that gap. And we're in a really, really good place right now in our district. But back last spring, we were looking at, you know, what are some ways that we can incentivize our teachers and provide some benefits that, you know, that don't cost anything, because our class sizes are still small, but, you know, but they're still a little, they're bigger than what they were, but they're still small when you compare to other other districts across the state. And we've continued to provide the same programming that we had provided before, because that's good for kids and our teachers to step up and do those things. And so we did our research. We looked at other schools that had gone to a 4-day week, and actually a lot of, you know, their morale goes up, their student attendance goes up, and their star scores have gone up. And so our star scores are in a really good place. We're an A-rated district, and our kids do well across all the domains, the student achievement domain and the student growth domain. But so we were able to adopt, make a short story long, we were able to the hybrid 4-day week. And so everyone's getting really excited about that right now. And so we're about to step into some uncharted territory, because we've not done that before, but everyone's really excited about it. And so that's a really neat thing, because when you look at what families do, and we're a 2A district, so we've got 355 students district-wide. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's so immersed in what the school activities are. And so, you know, our high school kids are, you know, they're involved in everything. And so, you know, they're up here before school with, you know, workouts or practices. They do their school stuff. And then after school, you know, more workouts or practices, or, you know, we're now getting ready, you know, they're even practicing for UIL academic contest. And last year we had 3 high schoolers in our family. Our son graduated. He's a freshman at Texas Tech. So now we have 2 high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent, we know the work that our kids put into it, and they need to be able to also have some downtime and some family time and some quality of life time. And so it's really kind of been a win-win across the board. But that's like right now top of the list, that if you're talking to people in the hallway, they're talking about the 4-day weeks are about to start. So that's kind of what's going on right now in Vega ISD.
So what you said, UIL, just so our listeners know, because we love our acronyms, what is UIL?
University Interscholastic League. And UIL is the governing body for like all of the competitions.
Okay.
And so, you know, so that could be your athletic competitions, but it's also your one-act play, your band, your fine arts, and like your academic contests. And so, like, you know, we're right now getting ready for, you know, like for the academic contest, you know, you have like Number Sense and Calculator, and those are contests that my daughters are in.
Nice.
Like speech and debate, social studies, science. And so you talk about just that well-rounded, you know, opportunities. It's not just about, you know, this activity or that activity. You talk about all of them combined together. I'm doing something which, you know, may be a bad idea, and we won't know it till we try it and do it. But, you know, I talked about, you know, all of our teachers, all of our staff do multiple things, and because it's good for kids and we want kids to have those opportunities.
Right.
So the past several years, we have not had a debate team in UIL. And so I asked our UIL coordinator last year, when we, at the end of the season, I said, you know, what help do you need? And, she mentioned, the debate, contest. And, you know, like in our competition district, 2 of the schools of the 7 actually had a debate team. And so not having one's not uncommon, but we'd had one in the past, but we don't now. I said, that's what you need my help with. I'll try it. And so right now I'm learning how to be the debate coach. And I've done UIL debate before. And so I'm making some friends in other districts of the debate teachers and coaches. And so we'll see how well this works. The kids will wind up teaching me more than, them. But you know what? You know, you might as well try. And
we never stop learning.
Yeah, we didn't have it before, and so let's try it and see. And so we'll see how that works out.
So back to the 4-day week. So today is October 7th, just so people know, because it's about 2 months before the show comes out. So it'll be December 7th. So by the time this goes out, you'll have a good 8 weeks into it. But So the 4-day week. So on the fifth day, are the kids required? I know there's lots. I've seen it over and over. I've seen it a lot. What are the requirements for a student on that fifth day? Or are there any? Is it just meant to be a self-study day? Is there any? How does that work? How are you guys rolling that out?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, if you talk to 10 different districts, you're going to
You'll
see it done. You're going to see it done 10 different ways, kind of
exactly.
Like a casserole. You're not really sure what you're going to get until you jump in and start devouring it. And so how we have it set up is one of those days, each Friday is going to be a professional development day with our staff. And so they'll come in and have campus meetings. They'll look at student data. You know, if there's a kid struggling, they'll get, you know, they'll invite the kid to come up and do some extra work. Those UIL teams that we're talking about, the calculator team, the number sense team, they could come up and do some extra practice and work with their teacher who's coaching that event. And so we have those things set up, but if there's a student struggling, they'll be able to come up on that professional development day that we have one Friday a month. And then, you know, on the other Fridays, if the teacher wants to sees that there's a need and, wants to invite somebody up for, for study time or whatever it might be for a review session, they'll have those opportunities. But really those other three Fridays, we really want to protect that and covet that for our staff to be able to have that time with their families on there, because we did extend the start of school and the end of school.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Our school day to kind of build in those minutes, because in Texas, it's all about the minutes throughout the year, not about the school days. And so we have that set up. But, you know, one thing we have unique in our district is that, I mean, you'll see, you know, like our gyms are used by community members, in the evenings and the weekends. If you have like a youth volleyball team that's made up of kids from our district, they have access to our facilities to use it, because it's the community's facilities. It's not it's not any one person. It's for the community. And so we have those available, but that's what the plan is for the use of that. But it gives teachers a chance to, really kind of strategize how we focus in on student growth. And then if there's kids that need some extra time, they can come in on that professional development day on the Friday. And then also they can come in, before or after school or during the built-in time we have in our regular school day.
So I have a harder question. So what about the single mom who is using school so that she can work while her kids are at school? How are you guys handling that?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. And that was part of, we did extensive surveys of our community and of our parents to see what the needs are with that. And, the ones that would have fallen into that felt like they were able to find their own childcare, or somebody else could be able to meet that need. But that was certainly something that we asked about, and we really wanted to check in on. Because, we don't want it to be a hardship for anybody.
Right.
We want it to be a win-win. And and our community response in the surveys, 80% of our parents and community were in favor of trying out the 4-day hybrid week. And nobody in our staff was against it. About the 80% were like, definitely yes. And then 20% were like, yes, we think this is a really good idea, but let's kind of keep thinking about some of these other aspects on it. And so I've never seen such strong support for it. And part of it is that we have some neighboring districts that have done it or were starting to do it. And so it's, it goes into a way of what incentivizes a teacher to want to stay in our district and maybe not get paid as much as you could 20 miles down the road. Our response is the best thing for a student is to have a high quality teacher in front of that classroom. And we have high quality teachers in our district now, many of whom can retire, and they're teaching because they love it and they love the environment we have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard to replace for sure. And giving them 4 days instead of of five is a great thing. Okay, Jerry, are you, as the superintendent, going to be taking Fridays off? Is it going to work for you and the administrative office as well?
Well, it will. The professional development days will be up here on there. And then, but on most of these Fridays, we still have either game activities or other school activities. And so there will be activity up here all of those times, but we'll also be able to recapture some
That's
of our
good.
Time.
Yeah. I only say that because I know as leaders, we tend to like make programs and do things for other people, but then do we really take advantage of it ourselves? You know, that's more the question is like, cause you know, it's always, and so what I'll tell you a little story. So one of the things that we do at Lighthouse is I feel like the day that you were born is the best day. You know, God gave you life and you were born into this world to serve a purpose. And so for me and my staff, everybody gets their birthday off. It's not, you know, it's like if your birthday falls on a weekend, you know, you can pick Friday or Monday before, but you have to take your birthday off. I am the worst. And my birthday is actually on the 12th of October, which is in 5 days. Actually, it falls on a weekend this weekend. So I actually will be. But for several years, because we're 7 years old, I implemented this from the very beginning of when once I started having employees beyond, you know, just our family. But it was I was the worst at working on my birthday. So my family started planning vacations where we were not able to work on my birthday. And we were doing something, whether it be scuba diving or something water or whatever, that I couldn't have my phone. So they would make me take my birthday off, which I, you know, it wasn't like I intended not to. It's just, you know, it's just like when you're doing something where you feel like you're called, you know, it's not, to me, it's not work. So, you know, but it was to, you know, follow. It's hard to tell my staff, yes, you're important. Yes, you're valued. And you take the day off and then don't do it myself. So
but there is so much wisdom in that. And well, our elementary principal and I were talking about this actually yesterday. But you know, when you look at, you know, how many days that, you know, that you save up over the years and, you know, after you've been in something over 20 years, a lot of people have a lot of days. When I first became a principal, I didn't take all my days in the summer, and because there's just so much work to do, and you needed to get the work done, and you know what happens at the end of that? You miss out.
Yeah.
And you know, those are all different life lessons, and some of us are slower to learn that than others.
Yeah.
And you have to take those days, and I encourage all of our folks to take those days. And one thing which is so special about our district and encourages people to want to come and work here is that if your kid has an activity, we want you to go to your kid's activity, and we don't dock you for that.
So you go
watch your son or daughter do their activity, and you just need to be here for, you know, 30 minutes that day. And then, you know, you go do that. And of course, with me, when I go watch activities, that's part of my job.
Right.
But, you know, like, you know, my wife works in the district. And so she's able to go watch our, you know, kids, you know, play tennis. And so with the tennis match and of course, sometimes she drives the van to help get them there because they'll play at different, you know, different locations in Amarillo. But, you know, you just have to, you have to have that family first mentality. And one of the best things in our board was so supportive. When I first became superintendent in Vega, you know, I started in January of 2024. And so I moved up here and my family was still in our other district and they were finishing out a basketball season. And because they're all three in high school. And so now I would go home about, you know, every couple of weeks and then until they all moved up here. So we did that for about, you know, 2.5 months. And that first time we'd ever been a part of that. And that was hard to do. And so, but we did that. And our son's team he was a junior. And so they were in the playoffs. And our basketball coach's dad would always ask about, you know, hey, how's Daniel doing? And, you know, and really took a big interest. And I appreciated that. And so, you know, he had a, you know, he had asked me about the playoff game, and I said, well, you know, I just hate to miss, you know, I don't want to miss our stuff. And so I wasn't planning to go down, you know, and it was about a, you know, 7 hour drive from here. And,
wow.
And he had, he encouraged me to go do it. And, mm-hmm. And that just started me thinking, and, you know, and our board was like, they so supportive of, they wanted me to go do those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I just felt, I felt, you know, that tug of the job and the responsibility, but I decided to go ahead and go down and do that. And so, you know, went down and, you know, saw the playoff game and, you know, and they lost, but, you know,
but you were there.
I don't think it's because I was there, but, you know, but I got to see that. Well, fast forward, our son's senior year, and it's about this time last year, he was playing football and he, suffered a knee injury where he tore his ACL, meniscus and had an MCL strain. And so that was it. That ended his, high school athletic career. And so, and basketball was his sport. And, so there was no more basketball games. And so I was so thankful and appreciative that I had that opportunity, and I took that opportunity, and I had our coach's dad speak wisdom into me, and that I had at least enough common sense to listen to that and take that advice. And I went down there. So I was able to watch our son's last basketball game. We just didn't know it was his last game in that moment.
So, there's definitely that last always, and you never know when it is. You never know when it is.
And I just feel so blessed that I was able to do that. And he had, you know, and he tried to brace up and play basketball, and it didn't work. You know, but man, he worked so hard through that. He tried two different times and it just kind of kept shifting. And so he had surgery at the end of basketball season. Fantastic. The surgeon was great, and his knee's in great shape. And he's, you know, he's at Texas Tech now, and he's wears the knee brace when he does stuff. But, you know, he's done some intramural, you know, flag football and things like that. But, you know, he's done the work to do that. And just that experience, I'm just so proud of his hard work and commitment, because he did a lot of hard things, and he never missed a day. He went to every football practice, every team activity after his injury, and he was part of the basketball team every step of the way, even though he wasn't ever able to suit up and play. But just that tenacity and just that dedication,
commitment.
That's the, and I told him that's the thing I'm so proud of him for. And we wouldn't have experienced that blessing if it hadn't been that, you know, at the time it was a tragic knee injury. And so it was a different blessing that God had in store for us. That's not what we anticipated, but it was a greater blessing than really what we would have thought about if it would have been in our own, you know, our own, you know, control.
Are you struggling to keep speech therapy fully staffed or tired of high turnover? You're not alone. At Lighthouse Therapy, our speech language pathologists are seasoned professionals, and most of them have over 16 years of school-based experience. They're not just qualified, they're consistent, relational, and results-driven. We offer three flexible delivery models: virtual therapy, hybrid therapy, and in-person therapy. It's speech therapy done right for you and your students. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter-together. And you only get to go around once with each of your children. You do. And, you know, it's like mine are all grown, but I wouldn't miss anything that they've got going on now, even now. You know, it's like they're 27, 26, and 23. But still, I mean, and talk about going to games and stuff. And when my youngest was in high school, he was a wrestler. That was his sport. And those Wednesday night wrestling games, we were living in Michigan at the time, and some of them were an hour and a half, 2 hour drive to get to. And when you're starting your own business and it's not 9 to 5, I still scheduled myself Wednesday nights. Every single one that I could make it to, I went to. And he's like, Mom, you don't need to go. You don't. And he was a 2020 grad. So, you know, on top of everything else.
Yeah.
And COVID Like, we literally went to state. He didn't qualify for state, but this was a kid who lost every single game, every single match his first year, and just kept pushing through. Same kind of thing that you're talking about. He was learning. He didn't know what he was doing, and he wanted to do it, and he just kept going. First time he actually won, he pinned a kid. I actually cried. I was so happy for him. So, and that was his second year. So, yeah. You know, same kind of thing. You just have to be there. You have to be there for your kids because you only get it once. So for those of you that are listening, if you're thinking, well, I need to do this thing, even though my kids, no, go spend the time. You don't get it back. You just don't get it back. So, and good kudos to you for listening to wise counsel, right? And for taking that time and giving that time back to your staff too. I know there's people on both sides of this, this option. And it's great to hear the positives. I've talked to some other schools that have talked about 4 days, but I've never in the podcast actually delved into how it's working and the reasons behind it. I mean, I work from home. I have worked from home since 2011, and I'm telling you, I will never work outside of my house again. I'm very spoiled when it comes to that. But having that opportunity and giving your staff that opportunity is huge.
Well, and that was a big driving force with it is, you know, what can we do to show appreciation and provide a benefit for our staff, because they had taken everything in stride.
Yeah.
But before I became superintendent, the district had been looking at like a $1.3 million deficit. And for a $6 million budget, that's significant.
That's huge, yeah.
And so confluence of a lot of factors led into that. They had done some work. They had to reduce some staff. And so the deficit when I started was $786,000. Again, on a $6 million
still
budget,
a lot.
Very significant. And so, you know, there's just work that we did together. There were some, you know, some positions that we didn't fill. We went from three principals to two principals, and the two principals we have, they both share the junior high campus, and it wouldn't work for everybody, but it works for us. And they're fantastic at what they do, but our teachers just step up and do the things that they need to do, you know, even with less staff than what we've had. A huge success story is we were able to, just through conversation and just community awareness of, you know, where the budget was, because everybody knew there was a budget problem. They didn't really know exactly why or how or what the next step was. And so, you know, being the new superintendent, that was a perfect opportunity to have conversations to, you know, learn more about the district and also talk with staff. And in one of the one-on-one meetings I had with one of our teachers, this was my favorite response I've ever had, is, you know, we would go through things. I'd learned that there's this misunderstanding about the budget. And so I would talk about, but I had set questions and, you know, collected that. I'd always share out the results on the webpage and the newspaper article. And so, you know, just, you know, open book with that.
Transparency, yeah.
But, you know, one of the questions is, you know, what's something that we need to do, you know, essentially. And the teacher said, well, what I was going to say, I'm not going to say anymore. And I'm going to say something different. So that piqued my curiosity. Well, what were you going to say? Well, we need to hire the third principal back. But now that I understand where the budget is and where the focus is, I'm not going to say that. Her recommendation was something else. And I love that because it got a level of understanding across.
Mm-hmm.
And so fast forward to then to where we are now. So the first budget I passed, or the board passed with me being superintendent, we were able to go through, what they call a VATER, voter approved tax ratification election. And so that generated, significant income or revenue for the district. So we were able to pass a 331 deficit budget. So that was huge because, like, our cost of doing business since 2019, just with insurance hikes and fuel hikes and utility hikes, was over $200,000.
Yeah.
And so that's without additional state funding. And so that's just, I mean, that all of that adds to those deficits that the district was experiencing. Well, so fast forward from that summer to this past summer when we adopted our current year deficit or current year budget, we're at a deficit of 122,909. And that's off of an ADA projection, average daily attendance projection, is going to be much lower than what we're going to have because we've had an uptake of students. We have 25 new transfers this year.
Nice.
And we believe that the four-day week was something which encouraged more families to transfer to our district. So our enrollment is up right now. And if it maintains that trend, our deficit budget should come out balanced.
Right. Nice. Yeah.
And but it's everybody really pulling up their bootstraps, being very conscientious about, you know, expenses we have, but also making sure the focus is the focus and that we provide the support for our teachers and paraprofessionals in the classroom. And in some cases where we shift some of those positions that are non-instructional, and we've reduced some of those, but we've been able to add an instructional position as needed, because ultimately the most important thing we do is between those interactions in the classroom with students and our teachers. And so being able to keep the main thing. And so a lot of, a lot of confluence of things to help with that. And the state legislature this past session did help. It would have helped a lot better before they started changing up some of the strings and how the funding got used. But they did a great job in providing some teachers with teacher raises. Our board stepped in and the staff that did not get provided raises, they found a way to provide them raises because everybody deserved that. And so all of that, we really could have had a balanced budget if we hadn't have done that.
Right.
Take care of your people.
Yes.
But in doing that, we were blessed with that uptick in student enrollment. And we've had an active transfer campaign for the past 18 months. And it just, you know, giving people an option of, you know, if this is the type of environment they want their family to be a part of. And a lot of people have said yes, and they've come to our district. And so we're in a really good position right now where we are, but you have to go back and, you know, and take care of your people and students first. And then, you know, how do we best support students? It's by having fantastic teachers, you know, and finding ways to show that appreciation. And so that's kind of been our story. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it goes back, and we had talked about this at the beginning. You know, what we do in public education, and you can get into the, you know, the vouchers or the educational savings plan or whatever we call it. And, you know, that is what it is. The landscape is what the landscape is. I have always attested that the public school system is the most Christian organization you're going to find in the United States, if not the world, because we serve everybody. We don't turn anybody away. And that gives me chills when I start talking about that, because that's the model that Jesus shows us in the church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Christ doesn't turn people away. In fact, Jesus is in continual pursuit of us. Mm-hmm. And what's best illustrated is in John chapter 21, which is, you know, actually added on. You know, when you read John 20, the end of John 20, it sounds like the end, and then there's like another chapter. You're like, what's going on here? Well, that's my favorite chapter in the entire scripture, because why is it there? The why is so important. Mm-hmm. So there must be a compelling message that God wants us to know about through John chapter 21. And that's when Peter, who had denied Christ three times and was in the depths of despair because of that, Christ still pursued Peter. Mm-hmm. And you know, and Peter was able to then, through that encounter with Christ, become the rock and the foundation of the church. And so there's nothing we can do that's going to prevent Jesus from continuing to pursue us. So with all of that, the public schools don't turn away kids.
Right.
And there's not a criteria for that. And so that's why I am firmly a staunch believer that the public school is the most Christian organization that we have. And it's a mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And across the hallways in Vega ISD, you have You have countless missionaries that are doing their part, and they're pouring and investing into the lives of kids. And it's been three of our kids,
yeah,
that have been able to benefit from that. And then we tell our staff, you know, when I was a principal, I tell our staff this, and assistant superintendent, and as a superintendent, is, you know, we have the opportunity. We're the best part of somebody's day.
Yeah.
The bottom line, we don't always know it, but we're
for sure, right?
And because of that, we need to be able to understand that, because we don't always have good days. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all human, we're all fallible. We have stuff, life happens, but we may be the safe harbor for a kid and not even know it. And we need to honor that, because our class or that interaction or that talking in the hallway or hopping on the bus or in the cafeteria or whatever that is, that may be the thing that kid is looking forward to, because I was that kid.
Yeah.
And teachers, that they were the best part of my day, and I was looking forward to that class. Maybe I didn't feel like I belonged or I was safe in other parts of the school, but I knew in that teacher's classroom that was my spot. And so that's a gift and a privilege that we have. And it's important to remember that. And so that's why what we do is such a mission driven field in my place.
Yeah. And I love that too, because it aligns exactly with what Lighthouse is and how, you know, how we do things. You know, take care of the therapist so they can take care of the kids. Our mission is always to be a therapy company run by therapists, for the betterment of students, you know. And it's the same thing. You have to take care of human beings. You have that. We're in a servant industry, and we serve. And that's what Christ did. He came, he served, he died so that we didn't have to pay the price. And that's grace. That's just grace. And if you don't understand grace, you're missing the whole message. So, and I love that, because I always thought John chapter 20 and chapter 21, they missed the boat. They probably shouldn't have broke those two chapters apart when they did. I've heard that before. So that's a thing. And literally, he is literally in the depths of despair. And Jesus says, no, that's not where I want you to be. So, And Peter is definitely somebody that I've always identified with. I like, you know, he got it wrong so many times. He got it wrong, but Jesus loved him, and he loves me. Like, I get it wrong all the time too, just like everybody else. And yet he still cares. And I love seeing what's happening in the world now and the United States. And it seems like as the United States goes, so the world goes too. And just the fact that people understand that God does belong in our society, and you cannot continue to shove him out. And, you know, I've been boldly for 7 years, more than that, but mostly these last 7 years, talking about the fact that I am a Christian, and I don't hide it. And I'm never gonna, I mean, if you don't want to work with me because I'm a Christian, do I want to work with you? I don't know. You know, I'll love on you. But if it's one of those things where it's like, but you know, we are also held to a higher standard by society because we're Christians, right? And that's okay, because we serve. That's what we do. So beautiful. Jerry, that was just lovely. I never shy away from my faith. I never shy away from my faith in this show. And I'm always excited when other people feel the same way. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. And thank you for what you're doing. So last question.
Yeah.
Last question. And you probably know, if you listen to my podcast, you probably know, but if you could, and I say miraculously because I am a Christian, if you could miraculously fix one thing, not money, can't be money, because we all know we need more money. And then we've been talking about money. But if you could just fix one thing in your world as a superintendent that you just never had to deal with it again, what would it be?
Oh, well, that's a great question right there. And this may not be the answer
It's your answer. There's no right or wrong answer here.
You know, in our world, we've got a joy problem.
Mm.
And joy is a fruit of the Spirit.
That is.
And joy doesn't always mean, you know, we're happy or, you know, things are always going great, but it's that spirit of joy. And when you have that spirit of joy, then even when the tough things happen or the storms happen, there's a peace and there's a calmness in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody could experience that joy, I think that would be a change agent and a difference maker. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important questions to me is, you know, have you allowed anything to rob you of your joy? And it's so important to remember that. And so, you know, in working with people and coaching people and just kind of talking about, you know, just talking about, you know, how to approach this or how to approach that. We need to protect our joy, and we need to really be able to experience that joy. And I think if joy is part of the process or part of the recipe, I think a lot of other things just really take care of themselves.
Nice. Very, very nice. Awesome. So, Jerry, where do people come to find out more information about Vega and about you?
Yeah. So, go to our website. And it's VegaLonghorn.com. And so that takes you to everything about our school district. And, you know, on there, I do a weekly, it's called Longhorn Weekly. We're the Longhorns. Now, I'm a Texas Tech graduate, and our son goes to Texas Tech. And so I'm a 3-time Tech graduate. So I love the guns up. And I'm really not a fan of UT. But UT is a great school, and if our kids ever wanted to have gone to UT, I would have gladly paid for it, or will gladly pay for it. But all of that said, we're the Longhorns in Vega, and so, but I think maybe the way we do the Longhorn is the correct way, and maybe the way they do it in Austin may not be the correct way. So. we're just throwing that out there, but it's VegaLonghorn.com. We do an article. It's the Longhorn Weekly, and it goes in our Vega newspaper, but it's also on the website, and just has information about, you know, the going ons and in the school and what's up, you know, what's going on and what's up with, you know, the current activities. And so those are ways to get connected.
Awesome. Awesome, Jerry. Well, this has been a lovely conversation. Your transparency and your heart and who you are just evident. And your schools are winning because of what you're doing. So keep up the good work. Keep fighting the fight. You know, we know we're in one, and it's just been a joy. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet. It's been a lot of fun getting to visit with you and just talk about, you know, the why and what we do. And but I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We are brighter together, right? That's the podcast. We are brighter together. So thank you. All right. Take care.